When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Yowie Shelf. Grab a seat and relax. I'm leaving that in.
You have to leave that in. We have no choice. We have no choice but to leave that in.
Oh my gosh.
So aside from the fact that we've been talking for like 20 minutes already, how are you doing?
I am doing relatively well in these strange times. Oh, side note, for those of y'all who are maybe, if this is your first episode listening to us, my name is Aisha, aka Mama Loves Manga, and this is my wonderful, wonderful, wonderful co-host, Amanda, aka IG Yume.
Hello.
If you want all the introductions, go listen to our first episode.
Yeah.
Because we introduce ourselves well there, and it would be a great starting point. So, anyway, back to your question. I am doing relatively well, considering this, you know, the situation. As an introvert and a stay-at-home mom who has been homeschooling her children for 4 years now, I think that I am relatively prepared. Like, I'm relatively equipped for this. The hardest part for me personally, and I know everyone's experience is different, and my heart goes out to everyone who is, like, legitimately struggling. And I'm very grateful that that is not what I'm going through. My, honestly, biggest quote-unquote struggle is that I can't go to restaurants. And, you know, my husband sent me a text. And it was, like, this meme that said that it was something like, I should have reevaluated my hobbies. Let me see if I can pull it up. I'm going to pull it up because it was a really funny little thing, but also kind of rude. Oh, it says, in retrospect, I should have developed more hobbies beyond going out to eat. And I was like, that's rude.
Yes.
But also it's a read. It's a drag because.
Yeah. Not false.
It's not false. You know.
I'm in a similar boat where it's like, I was sitting there and I'm like, why can't I just go to the fucking mall? Like my personality right now, I can tell you, if it is a Saturday, there are a few places that you can find your Amanda.
Mm.
I'm at a Half Price bookstore.
Oh, yes.
I am at a Forever 21. I am at an Ulta. Don't judge me.
I'm really not.
I am at a Joann Fabrics.
Oh, that's a good... I miss going to Joann.
Yeah. So if it's ever like my family has died in a car crash, and for whatever reason I'm not answering my phone, try one of those places, and you will probably find me. And also going out to eat, because like especially like being relatively single and living alone, like I go out to eat a lot, and I will sit in restaurants by myself, and I don't give a fig. Mm-hmm. Which apparently is a thing. Like, people don't like eating alone at restaurants. I love it.
I love it, too. Again, introvert, you know. Yeah. I love it when I get to go to restaurants alone. Especially, again, having, you know, I have a family. So, usually when I go out to restaurants, it's with all of them. And it's annoying because, like, we have to kind of, I have to, like, tailor where we go based on all these other people's tastes. When I go by myself, I can just go wherever the heck I want, eat whatever the heck I want, and I don't have to hear nothing from nobody. I don't have to hear a kid talking about, I don't want this. That looks nasty.
And I'm over here just like regularly having brunch for one at Cheesecake Factory.
That's amazing. I would love it.
I would take you to brunch at Cheesecake Factory.
Listen, when all this is done.
Yeah. After the Wea Boomer pancake breakfast.
Yes, yes.
After when you're that. When you're still in town, day two we'll do brunch at Cheesecake Factory.
Yes. Ugh. Just that gives me something to look forward to.
Amen, gal. You know what? I'm doing okay. I'm in the same boat though. Like I'm realizing how much my personality has been. Let's go to the mall and not talk about our feelings.
Right. Right.
Let's go to the mall and not think about your trauma. How many pairs of velvet leggings do you need to replace a parent?
A lot.
Yeah, so far the answer is like 7 pairs in different colors. I still haven't created a parent yet, but until I can build a golem of a dead parent out of velvet leggings, I'm going to keep trying.
No. Sometimes I hate you for the things that you make me laugh at. That...
You ready to talk about some piracy? Regardless of whether you agree or disagree with us, be nice, because neither of us will tolerate this. We are both old black women, and we will destroy you. Where is the lie?
There is none. I see none.
We're both old black women, and we will ruin you. Mm-hmm. So I genuinely do not recommend stepping to us, but we also are soft and with mental illness, and if you say anything mean to us, you're bullying.
I might cry.
Yeah, we're black and we're black and queer, so we're protected species. So
you can't touch us.
It's basically like if you try to fight a panda, the panda can hit you, but you can't hit the panda. So we're gonna get really shady and really raw, but if you come at us, like that's a hate crime. So I don't make the rules, I just enforce them.
So.
Yeah, and it's homophobia.
It's racism, it's misogyny.
It's misogyny. Yeah. So I mean with me being non-binary, essentially transphobia. So yes, like
there you
I mean we can swipe at you, but you can't swipe at us. So pew, 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 pew.
Right. But I mean, on a serious note though, for real, like
Don't send death threats.
This is just a debate. Like, it's just us talking and sharing our thoughts and talking about this. It is okay if you disagree, but just please, be respectful. I will say that I always try to be respectful whenever I am, having conversations that I know are going to be like, that could possibly turn into something,
right.
People have their buttons that, they have things that trigger them. And so I try to be respectful of that. But so this is just us sharing our perspectives, our opinions. And again, we're pandas. So
yeah, we're beautiful giant pandas. You cannot mess with us.
Don't come for us.
I think that's a good place to talk about. So I think the thing with piracy, and if you are for whatever reason confused what we mean by piracy, we mean the illegal means of getting a hold of content. We're focusing on boys love, because I'm gonna go ahead and drop a hot take. You have no reason to pirate like the big three. Like if you're still reading One Piece, if you previously read Bleach, if you're reading Boruto, you have no reason to pirate that. But like, especially in the boys love space, piracy is a bit of a hot button issue because of the genre and how licensing works. So let's do a really, really brief overview about the industry and licensing, because I think that will elucidate kind of how we get to some of the issues with piracy. So a mangaka or a manga creator has a manga and they make a thing. Typically, that gets picked up by a company in Japan, and there's a bunch of them, whether it's going to be a manga, an anime, or something like that. Now, that can get licensed in the U.S. By another bigger company. So our companies like June or sometimes Viz will bring stuff over.
Yeah, Sublime.
Sublime.
I think that's their imprint, yeah.
Yeah, so a company that can fuel that to the West will pick that up, and then it will be distributed through U.S. markets. Now, here's the thing. Not everything that you like is popular. So, and also, Japan is still the biggest market of this stuff. So there are series that I love that are only popular in Japan. there's no American audience for them, or a low American audience. Like, you're always going to find, like, one other person who likes that thing. But, like, because of the way the industry is, and especially as the industry gets more and more monopolistic, like, Funimation is trying to do more as far as getting into a lot of these spaces. Crunchyroll is trying to be more active. Fun fact, I remember when Crunchyroll was a pirating site.
Yeah, same.
So it's so weird that, like, yay, yeah. legal anime! And it's like, y'all used to host my fan dubs, but okay.
Yeah, sure. I definitely had a Crunchyroll login back then.
Sure did.
Yeah. And I mean, I have been very, like, honest about that. Like, I did absolutely used to pirate anime back in the day, because at that point, like, and I hate this argument, but there wasn't another option unless I wanted to, even watching it on TV, I know there was, like, Adult Swim and things like that, but, like, you basically had to stay up, like, you had to know exactly when it was gonna be on.
Right.
And then you couldn't actually, you may not see it in order, depending on when you, it's just, like, it was a mess. It was a mess. So, yeah. It was, I mean, this was back whenever Bleach was popping. So, back in, like, 2006, 2007, and that time, Matt and I were watching Bleach. We would pirate them episodes, and
I remember I got some of my friends, because I was still in high school when that happened. Like, my friend ripped, like, the first three episodes of Bleach and had them on, like, a little janky ass DVD, and we passed that around, and we all talked about it. Like, we did that with Auron, we did that with a bunch of stuff. Like, so, like, the conversation around piracy has really, really changed as anime has become more mainstream. And again, to me personally, if you're watching, like, the big three, you don't really have a reason to pirate. Like, if you're watching, like, Demon Slayer or Black Clover or anything like that, like, if you're watching My Hero Academia, you really don't have a reason to pirate. You just, you don't. Now, in, like, the hentai boys love Yuri space, I'm not going to say that you have an excuse, but I think my personal opinion, you know, I think that there's some more nuanced reasons behind it. So, to briefly explain debate rules, there's aff and neg, or affirmative and negative. Your aff and neg is for the point. So, the point is, do you believe that piracy is negative or is bad for the boys love slash anime industry? So with that wording, I will be playing neg, where I think and I have to be really, really careful. I think it's good, but here's where I cover my ass a little bit. I'm not entirely pro pirate. I'm just not as virulently anti as a lot of people on the internet. So I'm a pretty, like, moderate pirate. I'm not full One Piece, but there's still a lot of reasons that, like, I get why people do that.
Right.
So, I have lost the imaginary coin toss, and I yield the floor to Aff first.
Okay.
So let's do 2-3 big points as to why.
Right. So, why I think pirating is bad. I would say my biggest point, and this is just based on things that I've seen on Twitter, specifically from mangaka that, you know, have been speaking out lately, and actually not even just Japanese mangaka, but, like, also other, like, Western comic artists as well have been kind of yanked into this, but it's the fact that you are taking this person's work and a lot of these places, like the Manga Rock, you know, they were profiting off of something that they didn't pay for licensing. So this is stuff that, you know, these mangaka, these artists are, their stuff is being stolen, and they are losing out on, and I don't even think it's about the money. It's just the fact that someone is taking their stuff and turning around and selling it. Because, I mean, sure, like, those people who are doing the pirating may not have been a customer anyway, so it's not really about the money. It's just, it's about the principle of, mm-hmm. like, you're taking this person's thing that they worked hard on and that they are, that it is their livelihood, you know, and you're just sort of like, okay, well, I'm going to give this to these people and mm-hmm. we're going to make a profit, and not actually contribute to this artist. I can see that being very frustrating. And I just, it makes it hard for me to be okay with piracy. Mm-hmm. I would also say that another reason why I don't like piracy, and this is one that I guarantee you're gonna come at me, you're gonna poke holes in this, but I've seen the argument that, oh, the fan translation is so much better than the official ones. Now, granted, I don't read scans, so, like, I have no way of telling, and I also don't speak Japanese, so, but I do follow a lot of translators who do this work, who do the work legally, you know, and these are people that have gone to school for a long time to master Japanese. A lot of them live in Japan. One person that I'm actually thinking of specifically is Rachel Thorne. I don't know if you know who she is, but she translated this version of Nausicaa that I have, and then also The Heart of Thomas, like some of the older, like, shoujo that I really love, like from the 70s. Mm-hmm. And then there's, like, Jocelyn Allen, who is a translator that I follow, and she mostly has translated a lot of, like, the queer manga that I really like. Mm-hmm. What's a really popular one? Our Dreams at Dusk. So I follow them, and it's, you know, I see how much work and love they put into their craft, into their work, and how much, you know, how much time, like, it took mm-hmm. for them to really, again, like, master a language as much as you can when you are not a native speaker. Mm-hmm. And I trust them, like, and not to say that you have to go to school in order to be able to translate something well, but I do think that there is a difference between someone, like, as someone who has taken language lessons, you know, I went to college to be a Spanish teacher. Mm-hmm. I'm not a Spanish teacher now. I also studied Korean, and I know that there is a major difference between picking up a language kind of on your own and just, like, you know, sort of having an understanding. Like, if I were to translate something from Spanish to English, it would be fine. Like, mm-hmm. you could read it and be like, oh, okay, but it would not, there would be a lot of things that you would miss out on because I don't have the grasp on the language that, like, say my teacher did when I was in, you know, like, the teacher mm-hmm. that I had in school who had studied the language for many, many years. That's what he went to school for. He lived in Spain. He lived in all, you know what I mean? Like, there are some people that just, they just know more, and mm-hmm. that's okay. It's okay to admit that, like, this person has a grasp not just on the language, but also on vocabulary, grammar, a grasp on how to write. Mm-hmm. Those are skills that I'm more likely to trust someone who went to school for, who had so much of a passion for it that they put money and time into it to really study it, than I think I do for, like, a fan. And I know that sounds shady. I don't mean that to be shady, but there is a difference. And I get annoyed when I see people say, oh, well, fan translations are better. Cause I'm like, I mean, that's arguable. It depends on what you're looking for, what you want to get out of a translation. I see your face. I already know you're about to come from my neck.
I'm just going to wait my turn. You still have one more. You still have one more. I'm just going to wait my turn.
Y'all can't see Amanda. But this little shady little over there sipping tea or whatever the heck.
It is Welch's grape juice, okay. I will have you know.
Oh, I can't stand you. Anyway.
You love me, and that's why you keep doing this.
Oh, man. So the third one. Ooh, okay. I guess my third point would be that. Oh, wait, let me think. Hold on. Let me take a sip of this Coke. Okay, so I don't know if this is actually a thing that happens, but this is just something that I have seen kind of mentioned, but I do wonder if there are some English language publishers who might avoid publishing a series that has been like widely pirated because of the assumption that those people probably are not going to pay for an English or an official English release. And I know that there are some people that absolutely will, but I would argue that just from what I've seen on Twitter, the majority of people who are pirating, a lot of people that I have seen make arguments for it have said, you know, well, I can't afford to buy manga, so I pirate it. So it's like, okay, why would a publishing company want to spend money on a license for a series that people have been pirating because they don't want to buy manga? Because it's kind of risky. Like, it's risky because they may not make money from that. Now, sure, it could bring another audience, but it's still risky. Either way, it is a risk, and they may decide to take that risk, but they may decide not to, and then that's another series that we don't get to have in English because they decided to not take the risk. So, yeah.
Okay.
I think those are my three.
Okay.
I've never taken a debate class, so
So I am allowed some questions in cross-examination.
Sure.
Aisha.
Yeah.
What was the most popular and pirated show in the last 5 years in America?
Ooh, you're asking the wrong person.
So the answer is Game of Thrones.
Oh, no way.
And how much money do you think Game of Thrones made?
Go ahead and tell me.
You know what? The answer is a lot. The answer is a lot. The answer is a lot. So if we're going to go by the metric of piracy being a portent of bad things, then we should not have had Game of Thrones episodes past season one. So the argument that licensors would be afraid of a series that is pirated, that doesn't make sense capitalistically. Because to me, as someone who actually doesn't hate capitalism sometimes, I know, drag me, if I'm looking at something that's pirated, to me that means scarcity in a market, which means if I snatch up that license, there is a chance that people will follow, and more importantly, I can bring that to people who haven't seen it yet. So that was my cross. It's very short because I'm about to take this train into station.
that was so short, but also, like, I mean, low-key effective.
Just low-key, honey? Just low-key?
Like, the way you ended that, you're just like, okay, and? Mic drop.
Yeah, I was on the debate team for a while. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I'm insufferable, I know. I am a smarmy little shit, I am aware.
And I can see your face. I just see it. I see the joy you're getting out of this. Your cheeks are pink because you're enjoying this.
I'm having so much fun. So here's my couple of points that are kind of, I guess, pro-piracy, very soft. Here's my big thing with that is, again, big one is scarcity. So as I mentioned with licensing, not everything is popular. So like there are some series that I love that are just not getting American releases. Maiden Rose, which I mentioned in episode one, is one of my favorites of all time. There's 5 volumes of that series. Americans have gotten 2. It's not popular in the US. It's just not. I couldn't tell you why. I personally love it, but it's just not popular in the U.S. Twittering Birds Never Fly, another series. Mm-hmm. That's up to 6 or 7 volumes now. We have 3.
Yeah.
It's just not as popular here. So if I have to continue to wait and hope that those numbers will go up, which they won't, because at this stage we're at diminishing return. The longer it's out of the public consciousness, the least likely people are to demand these volumes. I don't like saying there's no other choice, but if I want to continue this story, especially these stories that I have invested a lot in, I'm pirating. And then as soon as I can get that legally, I do. I try to be the most ethical pirate that I can. That if I can get it legally, I try to. I will poke a small hole in your translation thing, because a lot of translators aren't just dumb, horny kids. That used to be how it was, because I know I was a dumb, horny kid who was doing translating, air quotes. But a lot of them are actually either people who are working on their English, are also in the manga industry, or they're taking scans from already approved translations. So it's not a lot of dumb translation stuff. Not to besmirch what translators are doing, but I've been very, very vocal about not liking a lot of the language choices that American translators make. My big one is the mistranslation of the word aniki, which in the Yakuza, it means big brother. It's in Japanese, it's the most respectful way to say big brother. And Funimation consistently translates aniki as big bro. And every time they do that, a year is taken off my life. There is no situation where a group of Yakuza men are going, hey, bro, you want to lose all your fingers in a night? Call your aniki bro. Like, it's just bad. Like, in this whole idea that American translate, like, I'm actually, like, kind of anti-American translators at this point, because, like, so, like, I rail against Funimation because they're in my backyard. Funimation's in Texas, and you can see the Texas bias. There's an episode of Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood where they call a character an illegal alien. There's not a word for that in Japanese. It's an island. They don't have a concept of an illegal alien. But you can tell exactly where Funimation is because they go out of their way to say illegal alien. And that bothers me. That's bad translation. So regardless of how much you studied, you're still an American and you bring American bias to it. That's just a fact. And especially in a language like Japanese, where syntax, grammar, and slang all matter so much. It doesn't matter if you've been a gaijin speaking Japanese for 10 years, you are never picking up on all of the slang. It's impossible. Because as a language, it continues to change and evolve. Like, we don't use Neko and Inu the same way, because back in the older days with Yaoi, that used to be more common than seeing Sime and Uke. You saw cat and dog.
Right.
You don't see that as much anymore. But regardless of how much you may know about the language, you might not know that subtext unless you're aware of that. Unless you're fluent in gay Japanese slang, which who is except for gay Japanese people? And me, apparently, because I've been reading this shit since I was a child. And my final point actually ties into that, which is a big one, which is censorship. A lot gets lost in translation and changed when stuff is licensed, and it drives me up the wall. I am a consenting adult. I have paid full price for this, and I demand to see penises.
Yes, I will agree with you.
Like, most of the censorship is just so bad, and I don't just mean, like, of the dongs, because I'm not just a deviant, but censorship in language as well, in translation. There's a lot of things that get softened. There are plot points that get softened. Gravitation had this, where originally in Gravitation, the age difference between Yuki and Suichi was much higher. But they softened those edges to make it less problematic because of American sensibilities. I think you lose something in that. Like, Gravitation's one of those series that if you go from scanlated manga to what we got in America, those are two different series. You learn so much more about trauma. You see so much more violence. It is so much darker. You're never getting that if you're only reading the books that came out in the U.S., and especially if you're watching the anime. That's just how we are. Think about 4Kids Animation. Americans love to try to take this stuff that's not meant for children and dumb it down and try to make it for children. Mm-hmm. Even boys love. It gets really censored. It's just, it's frustrating. And I'm going to throw in a small caveat, and especially when it comes to the animated part of it. I don't know what it is about American voice actors, but we have had the same five voice actors acting, and there is nothing like hearing the same guy who played Prince Vegeta try to be a Russian twink. Like, I tried to watch the dub of Yuri on Ice, and I never needed to hear any of that.
Right.
Like, none of that was necessary. I tried to watch the dub of Hitori Jime, My Hero.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all need to shut down. Like, y'all need to stop. Ooh. Y'all need to be stopped. Pew, pew. Yeah, shots fired. Shots fired, but like, I love y'all, Funimation. You were my idol when I was younger. There are some dubs that I'm willing to go to the mat for. You need to stop trying to play, like, gay Japanese men. Y'all need to stop. You are 50-year-old white men. You need to stop it. Goku does not need to be voicing a small Japanese twink. You need to cut that the fuck out.
Oh my gosh. So, there was one thing that I did want. Oh crap, what did you say? I got distracted when you started talking about twinks.
As most do.
Oh crap, what did you say that? Oh, okay. So I did want, because you're talking about censorship.
Yes.
I did want to bring up that, especially in BL. So there's a series that, where did I move it to? Okay. So there's a series.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure it's this one.
Mm-hmm.
The Cornered Mouse Dreams of Cheese and
yes.
The Carp on the Chopping Block Jumps Twice.
Yes.
So this is a series by Setona Mizushiro. Mm-hmm. And it is super messy. Like the character, I love this. I love it a lot. It's very messy, very much it's definitely not for kids. It's the audience, the intended audience is adults.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of just messiness, problematic mm-hmm. actions, you mm-hmm. know, just all the stuff. Love it.
Mm-hmm.
But in Japan, it is getting a live action drama.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the drama, they have now, in Japan specifically,
mm-hmm.
The mangaka had to do some edits to it, and they mm-hmm. did some reprinting because they basically censored it because they figured that the drama, which is obviously going to be a censored version, like right. their live action dramas, you know, it's obviously going to be a censored version
mm-hmm.
or a dumbed down, I guess, if you will, version.
Mm-hmm.
So because of that, and because of the fact that it could pull in a younger audience, they are censoring the actual manga
mm-hmm.
And reprinting it in a way so that it can be read by a younger audience. So I wanted to bring that up because it's not just American, you know, like, it's not just American publishers that do it. They also do it in Japan. I think
they do.
So. Yeah, but I do think that your argument is still very valid because, mm-hmm. I mean, we do see it, you know, and that is, and I get it, and that is very frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
And it is because they're typically trying to bring things over, like you said, that are not necessarily meant for kids, but to kind of make it more accessible
right.
for, I heard that like, and this, I don't know if this is true, because I have Fruits Basket, for example. Fruits Basket, mm-hmm. and that is marketed toward younger people. It is a shoujo manga.
Mm-hmm.
But I have heard that in the edition that I have, which I have the old Tokyo Pop
right.
One, I've heard that in the newer version, I think that's being that had been published by Yen Press, there was a new translation, and people have said that it's a lot better
mm-hmm.
Because there are certain things in the original or the first one, like certain words, like curse words, for example, that
mm-hmm.
got changed out. Things that, like, honestly, I don't care. and wouldn't have noticed, but mm-hmm. there are some, but I've been told that, like, it does kind of make a difference in, like, the tone of certain things, and, like, the dynamic that certain people have, like, mm-hmm. so word changes do, they do make a difference. I definitely agree with that. And I have been actually curious about it, and I've kind of wanted to collect the newer, mm-hmm. like, the updated version so that I can compare the translations and see, like, which one I like better. I know other manga tuber people who have multiple copies of certain mm-hmm. series because they want to, like, read the translations and see how they differ. So that is definitely a valid concern, but I also don't want people to think that it's just, you know, Americans who are,
yeah,
who are doing it, I guess.
It's not, but I think, so here's the counter that I have to that is that mm-hmm. when it's done in Japan, it's usually done culturally and not capitalistically. So
when
it's censored in Japan, it's typically done because, so, like, I think that's kind of valid mm-hmm. that we're going to, you know, edit it a little bit because it's going to get some more mainstream popularity. That I can kind mm-hmm. of understand. I'm not crazy about it because I don't like censorship, but mm-hmm. I can get where that's coming from. In the US, it's almost always done just out of capitalism or mm-hmm. frankly laziness. Like, I don't want to think about how this word is translated, so I'm not going to translate it correctly, or I'm going to use the mm-hmm. first thing that Google Translate says. And again, mm-hmm. this isn't to besmirch a lot of the good translators who are doing their best, mm-hmm. but there's a lot of decisions that squeak through that people do notice. And mm-hmm. it's crazy to think that people wouldn't. Mm-hmm. And you see it, honestly, a lot more with anime if it gets translated over for Boys Love, because there's a lot more stuff that people kind of assume that you're not going to be noticing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, especially in the Boys Love space, a lot of this stuff just isn't as popular in the US. There's not a reason mm-hmm. for that to come over legally. So if you've already invested your time, energy, and resources into this, mm-hmm. of course you're going to continue to do that by any means that you can.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of things that we do even now benignly that we don't assume are bad but aren't great. Mm-hmm. Because here's the thing with licensing also is that, like, what that mangaka receives is actually usually not a lot, which is why they harp so much about piracy. So if June licenses a manga, they're sending some money over to that mangaka, mm-hmm. but that money is after translators, marketing, mm-hmm. printing, storage. So yeah, I will never say that legal is bad. Obviously I'm not an idiot,
right?
But if you have this jaded notion that your individual piracy is what's, like, putting Rumiko Takahashi, like, on the streets, you're wrong. Like, again, your big mangaka are usually fine, but you also really don't have a reason to pirate because there's no scarcity for them.
Mm-hmm.
Where there is scarcity, I'm not gonna say that you have a pass, but I will turn an eye if you do. That does mean, though, you do have an imperative that whenever you can get a hold of that stuff legally, that you should.
Mm-hmm.
If you truly want to support these creators, you absolutely should. But there's a lot of little things that we do that we think are helping and are not, like, I know I have a bad habit of buying secondhand. So no one's getting that money.
Right.
Or if you buy at a convention, if you're buying from one of those big box conventions, you're not getting that. That creator's not getting any money because that license was only purchased one way, which is the dude who basically stole it from Japan. Like, there's a lot of things that you probably think that you're doing that are helping that aren't.
Right.
And even a lot of the legal streaming platforms like your Funimations and like your Crunchyrolls, the amount of money that's getting kicked back to those mangaka, I would scoff at. More of that money goes to advertising and paying for Crunchyroll. There's a reason why Crunchyroll has the money to have these giant conventions now. It's not because they're paying mangaka fairly. It's not because they're paying translators fairly. It's not because they're paying anyone else fairly. It's because they're taking your money and having fun taking your money. That's capitalism.
Right. I was going to say, that's the problem with That's the problem with capitalism.
Yeah, that's capitalism. Like, Funimation did not get to where it is by paying mangaka fairly. I'm pretty sure if you asked Hiromu Arakawa how much money she's made from Full Metal Alchemist, she'd laugh at you.
I'm actually curious, you know, that this is such an interesting conversation because it also makes me think of, I wanted to add that the people, like the mangaka that I've seen like on Twitter speak out about it typically are smaller mangaka, the ones that really are more likely to be affected. Not, and again, I'm not out here saying that you should pirate from the big ones either. I'm not.
Eat the rich. Fuck like, you. Although, fuck you, Kishimoto. I'm going to pirate all the Boruto.
But I definitely do think that it does affect the smaller artists a lot more.
I agree.
I also think that it affects smaller publishing companies more as well. Like for example, Rosa Versailles is a series that people have been like really wanting to get in English for many, many years. It's being published right now by Udon. Udon is a relatively small, like they're like an indie, like a small publishing company, I guess. And it would really do some damage if scans were to be put out of this, because this is, I mean, and the thing is like, it's not, this is not a cheap release. This is a $40, basically a $40 book, but
it is beautiful.
It's beautiful. And it's hardcover. So much work has gone into this. I'm sure the license was not cheap. Like, I guarantee you that license was not cheap because this is a Ryoko Ikeda title. And anyway, but so the point is that like, pirating would definitely be a negative thing for something like this because, you know, like they would see a loss, you know, like there would be a loss. Now, Ryoko Ikeda probably doesn't necessarily need the money herself.
Right. But that publishing house can't afford it. But that publishing
house, yeah, like like this is a thing that so many of us have been waiting for. I would hate to not get to have the rest of this series in print because people aren't, because the numbers aren't doing well because people are pirating. Does that make sense?
No, that makes sense. Saying? And I think we can't ignore the numbers of it because like Harada, if you pirate a Harada work, I don't think she cares because she's fine. She's fine. I mean, she'd probably prefer you not pirate, but, like, she's fine.
Right.
Like, Koyoneda, she's fine. Fumi Yoshinaga, she's fine.
Right.
I mean, don't pirate from any of them, but, like, they're okay. It does definitely, and there are things that I won't pirate, like, especially, like, webcomics. I will not read those if I see them other places, because I know that those sites need their ad revenue. They need eyes on their site. They need that. Like, I try not to use ad blocker very often because I know that that stuff pays for these people to do what they do. I also support other things like Patreon. I love Patreon for some things.
Yeah, same.
And I love Kickstarter because like here's me paying for a physical good or service. Like there are better ways to me to support these people. But again, there's this weird scarcity with some of this stuff that is really due to capitalism and due to the fickleness of American audiences. We're bad consumers, especially, and I hate making this generational, but like the youths are bad consumers at a lot of this stuff. So because they're not willing to go back and read some of these older series, they're not as popular and they're more scarce, which makes them harder to find, which makes it easier to pirate.
Yeah. And you know, another point that you had made earlier when you're talking about series that maybe we have like a couple of volumes in English, but there's a whole bunch more. Like what you had talked about, Twittering Birds, and the one that you like, Maiden Rose.
Yeah.
I like when you were saying that, I did have a thought of like, you know what? Again, while I personally, I personally am not going to start pirating just because of this, but I can understand where you would be coming from, because it's like, I really want to finish this story that I've started, mm-hmm. and I love these characters, but I can't because it's not being printed. And like, I see people all the time saying, well, you know, request it in these surveys, fill out the survey.
They ain't
and
listening like, to you.
And it's like, you know, I fill out the survey. Well, it's like, I can fill out the surveys, but like, again, if there's not enough of a demand for a specific series, they are not going to, especially if it's a company that doesn't already have that license, mm-hmm. they're like, okay, there's not enough people that are asking. If not enough people are asking for it, mm-hmm. they're not going to put their money into that. Like, it's just, they're not, you know?
Yeah. And look at, so like, I always give Yuri on Ice a hard time because I think it's everything that's mm-hmm. emblematic about the problems with younger fandom. So mm-hmm. Yuri on Ice came out during the same time as Hitorijime My Hero, which I think is the mm-hmm. better boys love in every way. Mm-hmm. Guess whose merch was everywhere? Yuri on Ice.
Yeah.
Because the kids liked it. The kids mm-hmm. did not show up for Hitorijime My Hero. I'm mm-hmm. not going to say it's a quality thing. I definitely liked one over the other. I have let my hatred of Yuri on Ice cool because I did used to hate it.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that it was very frustrating seeing all of this hype for a series. And then because of the way the internet moves, people can do things so much faster. See how quickly mm-hmm. that got a simuldub, which was bad. See how quickly there was merch of that, which was mostly bad. See mm-hmm. how quickly everyone hopped on that because of buzz. Your mm-hmm. buzz moves the marketing needle, and sometimes people don't make good decisions.
Right.
So a series that, honestly, if Hitorijime My Hero was released when I was in college, mm-hmm. we would still be talking about it. But we didn't, because everyone mm-hmm. was gay for ice skating suddenly.
Right.
Yeah. And you saw that with Free. Free did that, which is a series that I actually like, so I'm willing mm-hmm. to say less mean things about it. But right. Free had the same effect, where mm-hmm. there was suddenly this zeitgeist around it. So there was merch, there was more stuff, there were simuldubs, there mm-hmm. was everything, because people were into it. And other mm-hmm. series got ignored because of it.
Right.
It
right.
happens. But yeah. that does push more people into piracy, because I was one of the 5 Americans who did not like Yuri on Ice. Mm-hmm. So I had to pirate Hitorijime My Hero, because mm-hmm. it wasn't getting any legal licensing because everyone was gay for ice skating.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, had to pirate. Sure, there were probably legal ways that I could have gotten it. I didn't care. I'm buying the manga, so you're getting my money. Right. Which I think is like ethical piracy.
Mm.
If you pirate the anime, you have to buy the manga. If you pirate the manga, you have to buy it when it comes to like June or whatever. Like that's sort of the boat that I'm on, is I try to be an ethical pirate. I try to go through a checklist of, can I get this somewhere else? If I can't, how badly do I want it? How invested am I in this? If I'm not that invested, like, stop.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to consider, like, there's a lot of things that you just can't really get legally anyway. So, like, doujins. Mm-hmm. I love doujins.
Yeah.
You're not getting those legally unless you know that one guy in Japan who's buying them and then shipping mm-hmm. them to you. Like, you're not right. getting doujins, but those are great. Drama CDs. Americans have mm-hmm. not gotten drama CDs in 15 years.
Right. Yeah, I don't.
And there are series that you learn so much from the drama CDs. Like, you mm-hmm. are missing entire arcs of the series if you don't listen to the drama CD. I know Antique mm-hmm. Bakery had that for a little bit. Like, there's mm-hmm. full swaths of these characters that you are not learning about if you mm-hmm. have not read the doujins and you have not listened to the drama CDs.
Right.
Where the fuck you getting that drama CD, girl?
who can't tell you.
Who has that drama CD? So, like, I know I had that for Hitalia, Axis Powers Hitalia. Mm-hmm. Like, you needed those drama CDs and those character CDs to teach you about these characters. Like, mm-hmm. Hitalia was the worst about that, because there's entire snippets of these characters that you are only learning because of snippets in a song.
Oh, gosh.
Like, you learn that Prussia lives in Poland's basement. You learn that England has a tattoo on his foot. Like, these are things that you only learn because they're mm-hmm. song lyrics.
Hmm.
Which you are not getting legally, I guarantee you, because you can't.
Right.
So, what do you do?
Right.
What do you do? And if you were like me in 2009-10, where mm-hmm. Hitalia was the thing keeping you from flinging yourself into traffic,
mm-hmm.
you pirate it.
Yeah.
So you can talk to your dumb Hitalia friends who also pirated it because right. you weren't getting it legally. Because right. it was impossible. And that's the thing with piracy, is that it does sort of breed this... I think there's two kinds of pirates. I think there's the pirate that doesn't care and the pirate that cares too much.
Sorry, I don't know if you heard that. It was like one of our toilets was being... Okay, maybe you didn't hear that. I hope not.
I did not hear that, but girl, okay. you in danger. I think that there are ways to be an ethical pirate. I think that there are. And again, like, I'm not hard advocating. I'm not pro. I'm not going to, like, go hoist a Jolly Roger or anything. Like,
mm-hmm.
I think as many ways as you can, like, Beastars is a great example of that. I waited mm-hmm. until Beastars came out onto Netflix
mm-hmm.
so I could do it legally.
Right.
Like, and I mean, I don't feel better for that, but, like, that's a smaller series that I have no idea how that made it to the U.S. Like, I have, and I'm not saying this negatively. I would like right. the record to state, I like this horny furry show. But, like, if there's 50 other series that I feel like could have made it to the U.S. faster, but sure, let's talk about this virgin wolf and his girlfriend. And this really Chad deer. Sure, let's do that.
You know what's interesting about that? So the manga is being published by Viz.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I have a relationship with Viz. And
I know you do.
A while back, they had sent me the first volume. And, like, they had reached out to me. And they're like, hey, do you want to talk about this? Like, do you want to share this with your audience? And I didn't know what Beastars was. Because, again, I'm not up on the scans and stuff like that. I typically don't know about things mm-hmm. until they come out in English legally.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, so I was just like, what is this? So I Googled it and was kind of like, because I wanted to make sure that I was going to be into it
mm-hmm.
and okay with promoting it
mm-hmm.
before I let them give me the free manga. And it sounded interesting. I was like, oh, this is kind of like Zootopia, but in manga.
Incredibly horny.
Well, so here's the thing. I read the first volume, and the first volume is not horny at all. Like, the first volume is, borderline. Like, barely mm-hmm. a little bit. The first volume, barely a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I currently have the first three volumes. I've fallen behind.
Mm-hmm.
And I've only read the first one. I have not read volumes 2 and 3, but I do know that it does get increasingly horny, which I am totally, I know I say that I don't like, mature, explicit content with, like, high schoolers, but these are freaking animals, okay?
There are other things to be concerned about than the fact that these are high school animals. I'll say this.
These are animals.
I am a voracious consumer of smut content.
Mm-hmm.
I was taken aback by the horniness.
I am actually excited to
I have not been able to binge it because it's like, mm-hmm. I need to take a minute. Like, this is really horny. And not like not in a stimulating way. It's almost like in an overwhelming way. Like, okay, there's a lot of, there's a lot happening here. Like, I need to go watch something pure for a little while. I need to go watch some kittens, like non-sexual kittens in a field. Like,
I mean, yeah. I have not watched the anime yet.
The anime is really good.
I have not watched it. I do want to. I think I'm kind of waiting because I don't want to spoil anything for myself with the manga. Because I do tend to prefer reading manga over watching anime. Because I can concentrate better when I'm reading than I can when I'm having to watch things.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't really got into it. But I will tell you that Legoshi is fine as heck. And somebody on Twitter shared, like, the mangaka had, like, done some, like, little drawings or whatever, and she drew an exquisite Legoshi, and I was just like, Legoshi, he could get it. Like, he could get it.
I'm judging you very hard.
I mean, that's fine.
For wanting...
See, here's the thing. You're talking to someone who I literally have a Thirsty Thursday episode where I talked about different... Dojin from Itadori Comics, which is a they're a publishing house through Faku.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, of course,
Oh, hentai. I know. I am aware.
And yeah, and they had, like, my favorite, because they gave me, like, four of them to read for free, and my favorite one was called The Tanuki's Lover. And it's about this couple. It's this woman. She's human. She's all cute and busty, unlike me. And then it's this guy. And the male is a tanuki. Like, he is a buff, fine-ass tanuki.
Okay, so in this podcast episode, we've learned that Aisha's a furry. Got it.
It was such a... I was like, oh my gosh, I love this so much. Like, it was so good. It was so good. I was so here for it. And I was like, I didn't know that I was into this. But now that I know... No, obviously, in real life, I'm not going to go searching for a tanuki. But...
If you find one, please let me know.
Right?
Shit.
Getting back to the topic of piracy.
But that's, but that's stuff that, like, I tried to wait for that to come over legally. Mm-hmm. And then you look at other series that, like, took a while. I mean... I think time is another big thing. Like, sometimes it takes a minute for companies to pick stuff up. And, like, I think Sadazamai, like, by the time I finished that, Crunchyroll just picked it up. It's like, I'm already done, ho. Like, yeah. Like I'm finished. I've named a cactus after one of the main characters. Like, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
But I did legally purchase the spinoff manga that's coming out. So, like, that's my sort of treatise on it, is that I'm not pro-piracy, but I'm also... For most people, because I also don't really believe in the straw man of, like, the person who revels in being a pirate.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, that person exists in everything, but, like, I feel like people who, and this leads us into our next topic, like, there's this, like, moral high ground with anti-piracy that I think is really disgusting and exhausting, because I don't think that that person who's, like, just jerking off wanting to take money from smaller creators exists. Like, I just don't think that that person exists. I'm not saying that those people aren't there, but they are not the majority of people who pirate. They're just not. And I do think that there's this almost, like, false, sometimes, victimhood with manga creators. Again, like, the smaller ones not included. There is this almost, like, false victimhood and this false virtue that a lot of people who say, oh, we don't support piracy. Well, I mean, again, I doubt that Crunchyroll is giving these authors a lot. They're just, they're not. I doubt that Viz is giving them a lot. I doubt that June is giving them a lot. Like, it's just how it is. And that's a debate that I think Aisha and I think that was actually one of the things that kind of brought us closer together, was having different opinions on that debate, because... Yeah. Especially on Twitter, there's this weird moral high ground with, like, getting off on saying, I don't support piracy in any way. It's like, cool, I'm not a murderer, but I don't have to say every day I'm not a murderer. Like, like, do you want a fucking medal? Like, I'm anti-piracy. Cool, Belinda. What do you want?
Right.
What do you want? Yeah.
Right. And that's the thing. It's like, okay, saying that you, because for me, for example, like, I have said that I've actually only ever said that I don't pirate when it comes up. And, like, when it's, if someone asks me or if someone is like, hey, you should read this, like, it's not available in English, but you should read it here. And I'm just like, okay, hey, sorry. You know, like, I don't read scans, you know, thanks for the information, but I probably don't promote that. And people are generally understanding, because, again, like, I'm not coming at them like, oh my gosh, you're a terrible person, you shouldn't, you know, do, like, you're evil. Like, I don't think that people who read scans or pirate anime are the devil. I've mentioned before that I used to pirate anime. Am I a horrible person? Depends on who you ask. But for the most part, I don't think I am. And, you know, and I, so I don't think that pirating, you know, and I'm specifically talking about manga because that's what I mostly consume. I don't think pirating it makes you a bad person. I think that most of the people who do, just from what I've seen, most of them are young people.
Yeah.
Most of them are young people who maybe their parents probably don't even like for them to read manga mm-hmm. or watch anime, or you know what I mean? Like, there are lots of parents who are like, oh, that stuff is like dirt, you know, like, oh, it's porn, it's this and this and this. So their kids, so the kids are kind of having,
how dare you talk about my actual childhood, which is why I did a lot of filming. How dare you discuss my actual childhood,
right? Though, but I mean, that's, it is like, you can relate to that because can. Like, you know, so how are these kids are like, well, I want to be, especially with how the internet is now and like how easy it is to see what everyone is talking about. And there is that feeling of like, well, I want to join into the conversation too. Mm-hmm. I want to join in, but like, I don't have money because I'm a kid, you mm-hmm. know? And when I say kid, I'm talking like even a college student, you know, who mm-hmm. doesn't really have a lot of extra money. Or I want to join in on this and I want to read it, mm-hmm. Or watch it, but I don't have these streaming services or I don't have access to this, this manga, this legal manga reading app. Mm-hmm. So like, I get it. Like and again, just because I understand doesn't mean that I'm saying that I am going to go right. pirate. 'Cause me personally, I don't participate in that, but I'm also in a position to where I have a disposable income, mm-hmm. You know, and like, real talk, if I wanted to, like, we could plan another trip to Japan and I could buy manga from there.
Right.
If I want, I mean, obviously not right now because yeah. we ain't traveling yeah. and we're not
we ain't going anywhere.
Right. But I'm just saying, like, I have a certain life, you know, I have certain privileges, yeah. I guess. Well, and I also have access to a lot of things that some people.
And I think don't. That's important to mention because especially mm-hmm. coming at this from, I started doing this when I was a lot younger. Mm-hmm. For a lot of this stuff, piracy was the only way to get this. Like, if you were reading Boys Love, like, in the 2000s, mm-hmm. you were not getting this at Borders most of the time. You were yeah. lucky if you did. But there was right. a dry spell for a while where you could not get this stuff anywhere legally. Mm-hmm. And I do think, and I want to bring up the optics of economics as well, because as easy as it is for us to say that, like, we're in a position that we can't afford this stuff legally, mm-hmm. I'm also empathetic to people who aren't. And I don't, mm-hmm. I think we're on different sides of this argument because as much as I mm-hmm. empathize with, if I can't afford it, don't do it, I also mm-hmm. empathize with, if I am lower income or less privileged and this is how mm-hmm. I cope, I'm not here to take that away from someone. Like, if you yeah. are a Game of Thrones fan and you can't afford HBO and you're like still on your parents' HBO Max or you're torrent mm-hmm. it, I'm not here to judge you, like, because mm-hmm. you get that a lot about, like, eating out and tipping. We're like, mm-hmm. oh, well, I went out to this restaurant and I didn't tip. And it's like, well, if you can't afford to eat out, like, don't. If you can't afford to tip, don't eat out. It's like, mm-hmm. I get where you're coming from, but, like, also, let's not yell at poor people. Like, yeah. like, I get where you're coming right. from. Your argument is valid, but, like, let's also not yell at lower income people. Like, mm-hmm. true, you're right. You probably should not, but if you've, like, budgeted and this is your life and it's like, you know what, I have mm-hmm. enough to go to the Olive Garden and this is it, it's not my personal place to judge you.
Yeah.
If you have been following this series since you were 16 and you are not in a place that $12.99 is something that you can afford
right
for a fucking paperback book,
mm-hmm.
Girl, be free, you know?
Yeah.
Because like, shit, there's times that I've looked at manga and like, I'm okay. And it's like, no, I'm good. Like, no.
Yeah.
Like, nah.
Yeah.
Because that adds up. I mean, like, if you think about it, even if you go through legal means like June or Sublime, I mean, you're paying mm-hmm. at least $8 per physical volume. At yeah. least.
Right.
You have to spend, what, at least $35 to $50 for shipping? For it to be free? For free shipping?
Yeah, I think so.
So, $35.
Right.
That's like a lot of Pizza Hut.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's food for, like, that's, and that's the thing. It's, like, for different people, like, again, for me, like, it's the amount of money that I am okay with spending on manga is, like, real talk is probably
too high.
it's someone's, it's, some people could pay their, like, their rent their monthly rate. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, with the amount of money that I'm willing to spend, like, I try not to do that at once, but, like, there's a threshold that for me, I'm like, I'd be okay with spending this much if I felt like it. I don't do that regularly because I am a responsible person, and I also am a minimalist and don't need that much manga, but I'm just saying that, like, it's just a different, it's different, you know?
Right.
And I do agree with you that, like, just because someone is poor doesn't mean that they shouldn't be able to enjoy things. Like, you know, I do, that's not, it's not a fair way to go about things. And I guess for me, like, I definitely, I don't know how to articulate this, but on the one hand, I am very much like support the industry because I do feel like the more we, and I keep bringing up Viz because again, I have a relationship with them, but like if we keep purchasing manga through them, that does give them more money to continue to bring manga over. That's the same with the InPress, the same with all of them. If when we're buying it, that gives them the gives them money so that they can turn around and bring us and give us more.
But
and that's what we want. Go ahead.
But that's the thing, though, because like it's still capitalism, and that money does not always go where we want it to go. Once I give Viz my dollars, I don't know where they're putting it because realistically, so like I spend. So let's say June, because you don't have a relationship with them, so I can track them. I buy a volume of Twittering Birds Never Fly. It's 8-something. If I got my wish, 7 of those dollars are going to Yoko Nada.
Yeah.
That's not happening.
Right.
I guarantee you that's not happening. I don't even know if a dollar is going to her.
Right.
I would be shocked if it is a singular dollar singular. But if I had my way, if I give you $8 towards this book, I would want 7 of those dollars going to that artist. And you know that's not happening.
Right.
So there's also, and that's kind of where I am, is I'm so frustrated with the legal system in a lot of these instances that I feel less bad going around it.
Yeah.
I completely respect having relationships with them, and like I have I love Viz and I respect them, and I love Funimation, I respect them, but like there's been consistent decisions made on a lot of these bigger companies that are not in the interest of their viewers, that do cut corners and are lazy and are opportunistic and capitalistic because we've allowed them to do that.
Right.
So I feel less bad taking money from them. I feel a lot less bad being and again, like, you see where I'm willing to put money in. I'm willing to watch Beastars legally on Netflix because that's a creator that I'm like, you know what, here, you take my coin. It's not a lot, but you have my coin. I want you to have it.
Right.
I want you to know that I support you and your wish to draw horny animals.
But, you know, it makes me wonder, I do wonder, which I'm not really familiar with exactly how licensing works or anything. Like I'm not well versed in that, so like I'm not gonna say too much. But I do wonder, like, when a licensing is picked up, I assume that the publisher does have to pay a certain amount, maybe a lump sum. I'm assuming. So once they pay that lump sum, I'm assuming that it's the job of whoever they worked this deal with to make sure that the mangaka gets
royalties, publishing fees,
royalties.
So yes, you're right. But again, like with license, the thing with licensing is how much of that percentage are you getting? Okay. So yeah, there's usually a lump sum and there's usually publishing / royalties, but think about it. Just think about it economically. Let's say, and these are probably not real numbers, let's say you write 5 volumes of a yaoi manga, and June is like, we want this. So we're going to give you $10,000 for the 5 volumes. We want the rights. And you say, cool, because you might be struggling or up and coming, or that's $10,000 more than you had.
Right.
But because June has marketing and social media presence and all these other things, you might get between 1 and 5% on royalties. But let's say they make 50,000. You're still losing money on that deal regardless.
Right.
Now you could try to renegotiate your deal, but that's not likely to go over well. Uh-huh. And you certainly wouldn't turn down a large company willing to buy your work now, would you? Especially if you're a female creator in a queer space. Are you going to turn down a large company willing to buy your work?
Probably not.
Exactly. You guys weren't expecting economics talk, were you?
I'm here for this, though, because that's something that I have wondered. Because I was, like, when I would think about, like, the whole piracy question or the argument, I always did kind of think, well, I don't, like, whenever people would bring up, like, mangaka not getting paid, I guess, like, I didn't fully understand it, which is why when I made my point, I specifically was like, I'm not talking about money so much as I'm talking about, like, you're taking their intellectual property and you are making money from it. And that's, you know, I don't like that. But as far as, like, how much mangaka get paid, like, I wasn't really sure how that worked. And I feel like mangaka probably don't really get paid that well in Japan from what I heard.
It depends. So I think that's one of the reasons why so many of them are kind of whatever about it is because, like, they're doing, like, they're in their home country. They're fine. Kishimoto's fine. Kubo's fine. Rumiko Takahashi's fine.
Yeah. Like, yeah, all of these big, like, these are, like, huge. That's why I also feel like it's the smaller creators that tend to
really harp on. Those are the ones that I more passionately say don't pirate. Like, those are the ones that's like, absolutely no, don't do it. I think we've spent a lot of time talking about that. Do you want to talk about some ways that you can get some legal boys love?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Actually, okay, so obviously, you know, you can go and buy manga, just like buy the physical manga or digital.
Well, but also go straight to the source because again, so like Barnes and Nobles, you can get some boys love there, but I guarantee you the amount of money that was spent just to get that license, that's not getting kicked back. So when I'm buying my boys love legally, I try to do it through the publishing companies. Like I will go straight to Sublime or straight to June. Or I will occasionally go through Amazon. It's not my favorite, but I will, or Comixology is another one. Again, less ideal, but we're getting there. So try to go to the source as much as possible. June is great. They send a lot of emails and they have a lot of sales and they also have a lot of the older stuff that like someone like me who's looking for. The problems are as discussed that, you know, there's definitely, you're not getting all of the series that you want, and you're definitely getting them slower. But if you're really serious about doing this legally, those are the ways to do it.
I definitely agree with that. I typically place my orders through, I do use Amazon. I know that it's not ideal, but I do use Amazon. I use Right Stuff quite often. I'm not sure how great that is, but I do use Right Stuff.
It's fine.
Okay. And, but also some indie places where you can get BL. There is a subscription site that's relatively new. I think it started in either 2018, 2019. Like it hasn't been around that long.
Futakia?
Yes. I have a membership with them and now I haven't utilized it as much, as I would like to, just because like I've been focused on getting a lot of my like other stuff read first, stuff that I've already like purchased. So like physical books, or if I've bought anything through like Kindle for my, you know, or through Amazon for my Kindle, I'm trying to get those things read first before I start focusing on like the subscription services. But Futakia is one. That they have some really interesting little stories on their little, like, some mangaka that I would like to see, you know, kind of blow up and do really well. Because I think they mostly mm-hmm. work with, like, smaller, you know, creators, which I think is really cool. I do like that a lot. The only thing that I don't love is that there isn't an app. So you do have to either read it on your desktop or you mm-hmm. can read it on your phone. But I don't really love to read on my phone. Futakiya, and I'm trying to think of
Renta.
Oh yes, Renta. I haven't used them yet, but I've heard people talk about this.
I like Renta a lot. I do think the prices can be a little bit high. But again, I'm in a place economically where a couple of dollars of volume isn't going to kill me. It only starts to stack up because they're a little bit weird with, like, chapters versus volumes. So I do occasionally feel like I'm getting milked a little bit. But you know what? Mm-hmm. Whatever. Let's do this. Renta's good. Futakiya is mm-hmm. good. And then, honestly, especially with a lot of stuff now, the internet's a great place. If you, like, on my smut Twitter, because I have an entire mm-hmm. Twitter that's just smut, I follow mm-hmm. a lot of the yaoi mangaka that I like a lot. Mm-hmm. Buy that shit direct. Like, Twittering Birds Never Fly, because they just had a movie come out. There's a lot of really cool merch that's only in Japan, and I will do mm-hmm. everything I can to import that shit, because I need more cop Domeki. There are so many cute, dumb things that it's like, I never know that I needed a wine with two men on it. But I'm getting that ish. Like, so don't be afraid to import some of that stuff, because again, like, those creators are getting more of that money that way. So if there's a figurine that you like, if there's a drama CD that you're after, buy that ish directly, and, like, don't be afraid to. Like, I will probably go ahead and buy the I think they're redoing one of the Antique Bakery CDs, I think. So probably will buy that legally. Definitely buying the Twittering Birds Never Fly CD. Like, whenever you can, go to the source. That is how they make their money. So,
right. I would like to add one more thing that I do use as far as reading goes. I'm sorry. So Kindle Unlimited is a good, like, Kindle Unlimited, in my opinion, is a really good, I say investment, I guess. Again, I know Amazon is trash, but I do really like Kindle, and I like Kindle Unlimited. I think I pay, like, what, $6 or $7 a month. But you can there's so much more on there. It's sort of like basically anything that, because Kindle Unlimited and Comixology, they are two separate things, but there are certain things that kind of, like, overlap. So, like, if it's free to read on Comixology, you can also read it on Kindle Unlimited. So, like, I recently, this is not BL, but I recently had read Mars, and I read that entire series on Kindle Unlimited. And, you know, and I just pay my, whatever, $6 or $7 a month, and I got to read an entire, like, I don't remember how many volumes, but more than 10 volumes, you know, and I paid the price of, like, a little less than one volume, you know.
$1 per volume, yeah.
So I was just like, I don't know, I really do. And they do have BL on there. I will say that Kindle is pretty bad about being, there's some content that they will not allow on there, and that's an argument that I have, like, a thing that I don't like about them, because I used to read 10 count on my Kindle,
and they removed it.
I couldn't get volume 3 at all, and I was just like, I don't understand, and it was because they removed it for content or whatever. So you could get the rest of,
they did that with a Yachiden Bitch Club.
Oh, I heard about that.
Yeah, like, it's really, really bad. And that, again, goes back to censorship. See, you're helping me.
Yeah, I know.
You're helping.
I know. I feel like at the end of this, I guess, debate, I feel like while I am still not going to encourage people to necessarily go out and pirate, and I'm definitely not going to, I do think it's given me a whole lot more of clarity mm-hmm. and understanding as to why, like, to why some people do it. Now, I do recognize that there are people who do it just because, and, like, they get really, like, a lot of the discourse that I've seen on Twitter can get really frustrating because you have two sides that are, like, going at each other and no one is really listening mm-hmm. to the other. And so, like, if I say that I don't like pirating, then somebody else is like, well, you think you're so this and this and this. And it's like, yeah, I was just saying that I don't pirate. But then you have other people who are like, oh, you are horrible for pirating. And it's like, yo, I was just, I'm just a normal person trying to read the things that I enjoy. So there does, I think what it comes down to is that there needs to be sort of like, there, first of all, there needs to be a change. In just the industry in general.
Yes.
To make it more, like, it's at this point, it is, like, there needs to be a change in the industry that does make things better for creators. Mm-hmm. And not just the mangaka, but also the translators.
Yeah.
Because, like, we could not read manga if it weren't for translators. Most of us would not be able to read it, because most of us who love manga don't read Japanese or can't read or speak Japanese. Like, the majority of us who love it.
How dare you call me out in my own home?
I'm just, but, like, that's a real thing. Like, I see so many people who get so up in arms about it, but I'm like, but you couldn't even read it if it weren't for these these English, you know, English publishers,
mm-hmm.
You know, because, like, I wouldn't even know what manga is if it weren't for English language publishers. So I don't necessarily want them to, I don't want them to go away.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely do want to support them mm-hmm. because I appreciate that they're bringing something to me mm-hmm. that I enjoy. But I do think there needs to be some sort of change. And I don't have the answers. I'm not an economist or a business person or anything like that. So I don't have the answers. But I do think that there needs to be something that changes so that everyone who is putting in work
mm-hmm.
gets their fair share.
Mm-hmm.
And so that also us fans can enjoy the things that we want to enjoy. Like, you know, like, so that we can, yeah, continue to enjoy this medium and we can still get to read series that maybe aren't as popular, but this is another like a conversation we could have later.
Mm-hmm.
Or did we talk about digital? Have we talked about digital versus physical?
No.
Because I personally feel that a very good way for publishing companies to bring us more stuff is doing more digital things, because because of the fact that, like, they don't have to put in all the money for the risk, because printing is risky. The print realm is pretty risky, because you I watched a Korean drama about printing books, and
yeah.
I was surprised. I learned a lot more than I expected. It's a risky thing. So digital is kind of, it's a little bit less risky.
It's also very oversaturated.
I don't know. I don't know if I agree.
I mean, I respect that. I'm fine with either. I personally do mm-hmm. like, when it comes to manga, physical a bit more, because I'm old mm-hmm. and it reminds me of my childhood.
mm-hmm.
So I personally like physical a little bit more. Not that I will mm-hmm. ever scoff at digital. I do have a few digital mm-hmm. copies. And I do like digital because it doesn't take up physical space, because mm-hmm. shelves are expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the idea of everything going to digital, I don't know if that'll help, because I think that, again, mm-hmm. like, you almost open that floodgate up too much. And you're...
Yeah. Well, and I don't think that everything should go to digital. I think it's... So, like, for example, I know Faku, certain, like, houses within that use Faku,
mm-hmm.
They definitely base their prints on digital sales. So, like, if it does well digitally, then they're like, hey, we're more likely to print this if you, you know, if the digital sales do really well. Well, and I think Kodansha does that as well. Yeah. I don't think that's a bad idea, especially because for someone like me, I absolutely, like, if I read something digitally and I love it, because I'm a collector, I will absolutely, like, if I love it enough, mm-hmm. I will absolutely buy it physically. Like, Tokyo Tadadeba Girls is an example. I read it digitally before, like, nobody was even talking about it. Mm-hmm. And it was only, it was because it was digital only, and a lot of people in the manga collecting sphere don't like digital. So nobody was talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is amazing. And then eventually, like a year later, it ended up getting a print run. And of course, I, you know, am collecting it physically.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I personally think that it's a great idea to, like, put more things out digitally to test it to see how well it does. And if it does well, then if it seems like there is kind of like a, it's sort of like going back to piracy when you're talking, like, like, I mean, you were saying that if you see something that's popular
mm-hmm.
as, like, when it's being pirated, then it's like, oh, you know what? There's a demand for this. People like this.
Mm-hmm.
And we could bring it to a new audience by grabbing the license and printing. Oops.
Knocked over microphone.
My bad. And can you still hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, good. You know, they buy the license mm-hmm. and print it because they see that there is a demand for it. And I feel the same way about digital. If it does well digitally, then they're like, oh, hey, look, there is a demand for this. Some people, like, people are liking this. We can bring it to another, to a larger audience if we print it. So I don't know. And again, I'm not a business person.
Yeah, I don't think that. Process is completely off. I think that will be a good equalizer, but I don't trust the current landscape to do that.
Mm.
I think that's the thing, is that, like, I think I don't trust the current landscape to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's one thing about, especially, like, the BL space that's always fascinating to me is, like, how small people think it is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really quite big, just we don't have this stuff here in the U.S.
Yeah.
Like, right. So that's always something that I think is really, really fascinating, like, especially with younger fans, is like, oh, yeah, like, Given was my first BL. It's like, what? It's like that's shocking to me, because, I mean, mm-hmm. but even then, like, looking at my collection, like, I have a singular yaoi shelf. I just have one.
Mm-hmm.
And even though, like, there's a lot of volumes on it, like, this stuff is not, there's not the same level of reverence for this stuff in the U.S. as there is in Japan.
Right.
And I just don't trust the current system to use that valve respectfully, I think is where I am. Because I think that we would, because to me, popularity is also, like, this weird capitalistic dharma thing that, like, as much as I rag on Yuri on Ice for being popular, someone saw something in it.
Right.
I didn't, but a lot of people did.
Right.
So, you know, maybe I'm the weird one for liking Maiden Rose as much as I do. Or maybe I'm the weird one for wanting that other volume of Liza or Gentleman's Manners. Like, there's that weird, like, determinism that I'm willing to kind of accept that, like, hey, I have weird tastes, which means that I'm not gonna find other volumes to my shit. Maybe if I liked the mainstream vanilla stuff, I could have 15 volumes of Given, which is just Gravitation but boring. Sorry, I said it. It's Gravitation but boring. It is. You know, maybe if I liked the mainstream vanilla stuff, I wouldn't have a lot of this angst, but I don't, so...
Yeah. I mean, really what I think it can come down to is... maybe we need more indie publishers.
More disruptors?
There's someone to, like, bring stuff up. Like, I don't even know how to do... Like, I don't know... How do you get a job as someone who gets to go and, like, scout and, like, be the person who looks for a series to, like, bring
Because up? I would love that job tomorrow.
Right? Like, I feel like that could be something.
Sign me the fuck up.
So cool. Because, you know, I mean, I you know that I really love BL, but I also love, like, the Jose demographic. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there's historic, like, here in the U.S., there has not really been a whole lot of Jose.
No.
It's mostly, and it's starting to kind of pick up now. But I would love, and I know for a fact there's a lot more in Japan than what we're getting here in the States. And it's the same with BL. So it's more so there needs to be people. I think that there does need to be more willingness to take risks on, certain series. I can understand why the bigger companies are less, I think that the bigger a company gets, the less likely they are to take risks because they want to, they don't want to mess stuff up. You know, they want to kind of keep, they want to stay where they are. And that's, I understand.
But that's not how these companies work. Like, that's the thing is that like, I think here's the big thing when it comes to this stuff. I think the word that gets thrown around a lot with piracy is entitlement. It's that you feel entitled as a reader. That's not true. Mm-hmm. We all feel entitled as Americans. We need to fundamentally understand that anime and manga are not created for us. Mm-hmm. It's not for us.
Right.
It's for the Japanese audience. So, if that does not get licensed here because it's not popular here, that's no one's fault because they're doing fine where they're from.
Yeah.
They're doing fine. Like, there's a reason why we haven't gotten those other volumes, but someone else has. It was not popular here or worth the effort. So, if there's a series that you like, even if you have to start pirating it, but if it gets even a glimmer of a release, pop off. Support that ish. Like, there's a reason why the only anime movies that have come to America all have the same plot.
Yeah.
Like, because we're not willing to take a risk on other movies. Right. So we'll go see My Hero Academia, Heroes Rising 15 times, or we'll see Promare 30 times. Not that that's bad, but we're not willing to take risks. So that's why these movies keep getting made that way.
Right.
There's a reason, why, like, you know, there's a reason why so many of the movies are, like, they're beautiful and gorgeous, but they all have the same fucking plots because risks are expensive for especially movies. And also, like, we're not the primary audience. Like, that's the thing about, like, being an American anime fan that's always exhausting is, like, having to constantly remind myself, I am not the primary audience. Yeah. I'm not. It is more of a gamble for a Japanese mangaka to send a manga to America than it will ever be for Viz to say, let's publish more comics about boys kissing.
Right. Right. Yeah. This has been a conversation.
This has been a full conversation. So I think this is actually probably a good place to wind down.
Yeah, I agree. I think we've covered all the main points that we were trying to cover.
So what's our next episode?
Ooh, what is our next episode, friend?
Do we want to talk about problematic things?
Sure. That actually would be, that's a fun, yes. Yes, let's talk about problematic things. Problematic things that we both love and dislike. You know, like, we can do both, right?
Yeah.
Like, we can
just you get to finally learn the list of series that I had to walk away from.
Yes, yes. I think
because there's been three.
Okay.
So you finally get to learn the dreaded list of series that were so fucked up that I had to walk away from. That me, a seasoned smut peddler, had to put down and say, I need to give this to the Lord.
Oof, I'm ready.
One of them may surprise you.
I'm very intrigued. I am very ready for this. That'll be what we talk about is problematic.
Okay.
Problematic series, problematic, just all things problematic within, you know, the BL. So it'll be series, tropes maybe, things that we like and don't like, because I know that I definitely like some things that are seen as problematic. So
yeah, I mean, I make my living in problematic things. That's my house. That's where I live. That's my home address. So I look forward to talking about some problematic things. Yes. Where can people find you on the internet?
As always, you can find me at mamalovesmanga.com. I'm trying to promote that a lot more. So my website, mamalovesmanga.com. You can find me on YouTube, Mama Loves Manga, Twitter at Mama Loves Manga, and also Instagram at Mama Loves Manga.
You can find me at ITYume on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. You can find me at Amanda Actually on WordPress. And if you Google Mason's Cavies, my article is one of the first to come up. Ooh. Because thank you, salty guinea pig stands. I win.
I'm like screaming.
Thank you, you salty guinea pig motherfuckers. I win.
Hey. I can't. Oh my gosh.
We will see you guys next episode.
Yeah. Bye, y'all.
Bye. Bye.
Woo.